I think we can all agree Jesus is a rock in a weary land. He indeed is a shelter in a time of storm. I invite you to open your Bible to the fourth chapter of the book of Joshua. We will look at the book of Joshua once again. This time we'll look at chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. I titled my sermon, Rocks of Remembrance. You've noticed that in the bulletin. I did so because the focal point of these verses is the 12-stone memorial. God commands Joshua to build in Canaan to commemorate Israel's new start in the Promised Land that begins when God stops up the Jordan River 20 miles upstream to enable his people to enter Canaan on dry ground. Therefore, the stone memorial is a memory aid for the people of God. He wants them to remember. It's like one of these huge post-it notes, if you can imagine that. A post-it note stuck in the land of promise to remind Israel of who they are. They're God's covenant children, who is with them, and how they arrived in Canaan. How do they arrive in Canaan? Well, they enter the land only because God is faithful to keep his promise. That's what he wants them to remember. So as we look at these verses, Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 10, we will see by way of these 12 rocks of remembrance, there is a critical need for God's people to remember who they are. We are the children of God, and God is with us, and to remember God is faithful to keep his word. That is the underlying message of these verses. We are the children of God, and God is with us, and to remember God is faithful to keep his word. That is what he wants us to remember this day. So let us look now at verses 1 through 10 and see God command Joshua, Yehoshua, to build a 12-stone memorial in order that the children of Israel may remember the day he dried up the Jordan River so they could enter the land of Canaan on dry ground. So it begins, Joshua chapter 4, verse 10 begins, verse 1 begins in these words. When all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, take 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight. And Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, what do those stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. And the people of Israel did just as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, just as the Lord told Joshua. And they carried them over with them to the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant had stood. And they are there to this day. For the priests bearing the Ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished, that the Lord commanded Joshua to tell the people according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. So far the reading of God's word, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will endure forever. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for this opportunity that we have as your children now to hear you speak to us by means of your word and the Holy Spirit who illuminates the scripture and, of course, seals it to our heart. So, Lord, we pray that as the word does go forth, you would give us ears to hear and hearts that are willing to receive this word, and that, of course, a desire to obey your word as we live out what we learn today by means of the scripture. So God, help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe at one time or another, this is just the human condition, we all struggle to remember things. Do you struggle to remember? Well, generally speaking, as we age, it gets a little bit more difficult, doesn't it, to remember things. I think one man describes the problem well when he recounts an episode with an elderly professor he had, who on the first day of class informed the students, there are three things, this is what the professor said, there are three things I can't remember. He said, first of all, I can't remember names. Secondly, I can't remember faces. Thirdly, and then there was a great pause. Finally, the professor said, I guess I can't remember the third thing. I can't remember. We call that, don't we, a senior moment? And most, if not all of us, have had these moments where we struggle to remember names. Or we forget where we lay down our glasses. Has that ever happened to you? It happens to me all the time. We forget where we put our car keys. Amen. Where did I put those keys? Or we momentarily forget why we left one room and entered another. That happened to me yesterday. I walked into a room. I knew I had a purpose there, but I just stood there for about, 25 seconds, 30 seconds. I'm thinking, what am I here for? And normally what I do is I ask the Lord, Lord, tell me what I'm here for. And generally speaking, the Lord answers my prayer. He's gracious to me, and he says, you're here to do this. Oh, yes, that's right. Well, senior moments are nothing new, and for the most part, I believe they're harmless. Most times, either the Lord or we can jog our memory ourselves and remember what we are trying to recall. But that said, there is a type of memory loss, if you will, the people of God do well to avoid. For unlike the occasional senior moment, this loss of memory is deadly to the soul. For it concerns our relationship to God. We must not forget we are the children of God and that he is faithful to keep his word both to bless and to judge. And if we forget that, we're on the pathway to destruction. And the book of Judges testifies to this truth. That was the book of Judges, of course. Events happened after the book of Joshua. But if you've read the book of Judges, you know that it opens by informing us, the people of Israel. The people of Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who saw the great work the Lord had done for Israel. They were on board. So far, so good. They served the Lord for a couple generations. But then the author reveals there arose another generation after them. And he's key to point out who did not know the Lord or did not remember the work he had done for his people. And because they failed to know and remember, the author writes, the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals, or the false gods of the pagans. And if you've read the book of Judges, you know God punished his people for their failure to remember who they are and that he is faithful to keep his word, either to bless their obedience or to judge them when they go astray. So I would say spiritual amnesia is deadly to the soul. We can't afford to forget who we are. We are Christians. We are the children of God. And what God has promised us in his word, he will do. And since God knows how easily we forget, he provides ways for his people to remember important spiritual truths. And one such way is shown to us here in Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 10, where God instructs Joshua to erect a 12-stone memorial in the land of promise to help them remember who they are, and also that he is faithful to keep his word. So let's look at that event revealed to us in verses 1 through 7, and see how that memorial communicates those two important truths. In verses 1 through 3, we discover the first of the two truths God wants Israel to remember. By way of this 12-stone memorial, he has them erect, and that is they are his people, and he is with them as their God. Look what the author writes. It says, when all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, take 12 men from the people, each from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, for the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight. I'm always encouraged whenever I come to a place in the Bible, as we're reading the Bible, as you're reading the Bible, as I'm reading the Bible, I'm always encouraged when I come to a place in the Bible where the Lord speaks to his people, and he communicates in various ways that he is with them, and he will help them in whatever challenge they presently face or whatever future difficulty they will encounter. It always encourages my soul when I come across a passage of Scripture. Take, for example, Isaiah 41:10, where the Lord tells his people, fear not. He begins by saying, fear not. Why does he begin by saying, fear not? Because people generally fear over certain things. I am with you. Fear not, I am with you. God is with them. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's a very encouraging part of Scripture. And of course, we also have a New Testament example in the words of Jesus. Before our Lord ascends into heaven, after his resurrection, he commissioned his disciples to go into the world and to preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ and to make disciples out of every nation. And knowing how difficult the task will be, how impossible in their eyes the task will be, Jesus encourages the disciples when he tells them in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And what he said to those disciples, he says to you today, behold, I am with you, Christian, always, to the end of the age. To know God is with us at every step of life's journey, I believe, tamps down our fears and gives us confidence. We do not walk alone. We do not walk alone. God is with us. And this was important for Joshua and the children of Israel to remember. After all, think of their circumstances. Think of where they are right now. At the conclusion of chapter 4, they are in the land of promise. They've crossed the Jordan, and now the hard work begins. They must take the land by force. And guess what? There are Canaanites in the land. And they're not just opening their door to the Israelites. The Israelites will have to fight for that land. And the Canaanites will not give up without a fight. So Israel must remember they are not alone in the battle, but the Lord is with them to help them conquer the land. And that is one reason for the 12-stone memorial. For though it is not immediately obvious by looking at that passage I just read, it will nonetheless help Israel to remember they are God's children and he is with them. That is what the 12-stone memorial, that is a purpose of the 12-stone memorial, to help them remember that God is with them. They are his children, and he will help them. Look again at verses 2 and 3. And see how the Lord gives detailed instructions regarding this memorial. He tells Joshua to command 12 men, one from each tribe, to take large stones from the riverbed. And do know, not any stones they come across, but stones from the very place the priests who carried the ark stood. And they are to take these stones, those stones, into Canaan. They are to build a 12-stone memorial at the place they camp. We later learn they camp at Gilgal. So when you read that particular portion of the passage, verses 2 and 3, you may wonder, as I did, why is the Lord so picky about these stones? He specifically tells them what stones to take. Why must the 12 men take them only from the place where the priests who carry the ark stood? So what makes these stones better than the other stones in the Jordan River? Why did the Lord specifically tell the Israelites to take those stones? Well, you have to do a little thinking. And when you think about the significance of these particular stones that lay in the riverbed, notice, under the feet of the priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant, could it be God wants to remind the people, God's people, the people of Israel, that he was with them when they crossed the Jordan River? He miraculously dried up. Could it be that is why these stones, and only these stones, must be gathered from underneath the feet of where the priest stood? Now, I believe that is the reason. And I want to explain to you why. I want you to think of the Ark of the Covenant the priests carry into the Jordan River. They carried the Ark of the Covenant into the Jordan River, and then they were standing upon these stones. What did the Ark symbolize? Was it just a box? Was it just something the Israelites were told to carry as they wandered through the wilderness? What was the Ark? What did it symbolize to the people? Did not the Ark communicate to the people of God that his presence dwells among them? In fact, it did. In Exodus chapter 25, verse 22, God tells Moses regarding the Ark of the Covenant, "There I will meet with you, and from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim that are on the Ark of the Testimony, I will speak to you about all that I will give you in commandment for the people of Israel." The Ark of the Covenant that dwelt in the Holy of Holies is where God promised to manifest his presence and dwell among his people. And as you read in the book of Exodus, they always knew God was with them. He was a what? Cloud by day and a fire by night that dwelled over the tabernacle. And there, in the mercy seat that was on the Ark of the Covenant, is where God would manifest his presence, signifying God was with them. So the 12 stones the priests carry, the 12 stones the priests who carry the Ark stand on, they symbolize the presence of God with his people. Since, notice, one stone stands for every tribe. So they were to take the stones from where the priest stood to symbolize the presence of God with his people. And think about this. Each time the people of God, who are now in the land of promise, see the 12-stone memorial, they will remember this truth, that God is with them, and they will be encouraged. The God who miraculously dried up the Jordan River. Remember, the Jordan was at flood stage. It was overflowing its banks, and God stopped up the Jordan River 20 miles downstream or upstream to let the people cross on dry land. And as they are reminded of this very fact, the God who miraculously dried up the Jordan River and took them into the promised land, the God who was with them then, is the God who is with them still. Whenever they look at that 12-stone memorial, they will remember that. God is with us. He was with us then. He is with us today. And if God is with us, who can be against us? Certainly not the Canaanites that God calls us to judge, to destroy. One man writes of the 12-stone memorial erected in Canaan, "Constructed of the very stones of which the ark-carrying priest once stood, it testifies to everyone with ears to hear and eyes to see the Lord's hand is mighty and nothing is too hard for him." And what a blessing that was to the people of God. For the more we recall his character, his goodness, his grace, the more we shall make God the focus of our thinking and our trusting, whatever difficulties we may be facing. And what was true for them is true for us. The more we focus on God's character, the better we are at trusting God. He is faithful, and he is with us. So that is the first truth God wants Israel to remember by way of this 12-stone memorial, this rock of remembrance that he commanded Joshua to construct. He wants them to remember they are his people, and he is with them as their God. Now, the second spiritual truth the memorial communicates, and the people of God must remember, is found in verses 6 and 7. And that is, God is faithful to every generation of his people to keep his word. God is faithful to every generation of his people to keep his word. Look what the author writes here. So after Joshua commands the 12 men in verses 4 and 5 to carry out the orders of the Lord and take up 12 stones, again from the Jordan River, at the place where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant stood, he continues in the following verses, 6 and 7, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it passed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. So we see here the 12-stone memorial is not for the sole benefit of the people who crossed the Jordan and entered Canaan for the first time. Rather, it communicates God is faithful to keep his word to every generation of his people, including us. In this case, God is faithful to give his people the land of Canaan just as he promised, and no one can stand in his way. That's what it communicated to them. But it also communicates God's faithfulness to us. That if he did that for them, he will do that for us. He is faithful to keep his word. That is what is being communicated here. And not even the Jordan River, at that time, overflowing its banks, can prevent that from happening. And do notice, God will communicate this important truth of the stone memorial by oral instruction. The stones don't speak by themselves. They are silent. Somebody must interpret the stone. Somebody must tell the people what the stones stand for. And here, the parents are told to teach the children what the memorial means, and the children, when they are parents, will then teach their children, and their children will teach their children, and so forth, and down the line it'll go. Parents teaching children. And that way, from parent to child, God's faithfulness to keep his word is communicated to every generation of God's people. And I think that's what happened in time of Judges. We didn't see that continuity. People weren't teaching their children the word of God. Even as we see today, it's not being carried out. There are children who just have no clue whatsoever as to who this Jesus is. They're not being told. They're not being taught by parents. Parents weren't taught by their parents and so forth. They don't populate the pews of churches anymore because the faith isn't being carried on. And it's important to observe, as we see in verse 7, the people of God are not free to teach the meaning of the 12-stone memorial any way they choose. And thereby, as Luther once said, twist the scriptures like a waxed nose to conform to their whims and fancies. They are not at liberty to teach any old truth. They are to teach only what God says the stones mean. Now just think, if Joshua did not specifically give them those instructions in verse 7, just think if Joshua did not pass on the word of the Lord that he received to the people of Israel regarding the stones. Think if he just said, you just build the stones, just build the memorial with the 12 stones and leave it at that. The people will look at the memorial, what will they do? They will see this 12-stone memorial and they'll try to figure out what it's all about. Somebody will ask them, what does it mean? What does this pile of stones mean? What is the purpose of the 12 rocks? Well, having no instruction from the Lord and left to their own imaginations, they could interpret the 12-stone memorial any number of ways. Any old way they choose. Like someone viewing an impressionistic work of art. Without God's word to instruct them, the interpretations would be many and varied according to how the rock pile made one feel. Well, how does this rock pile make you feel today? Maybe that's the way we should interpret the rock pile. Well, I like the 12 stones, the way they're arranged. It's a beautiful, beautiful memorial. Kind of makes me feel like I've got freedom to do whatever I want. That's what it's telling me. What does it tell you? That's what would happen if there was no interpretation, if there was no word from God being passed down as to what these 12 stones signify. I remember years ago what one minister said. I heard him talking about this. What happened to him in a class he was teaching on the attributes of God at his church. It was a church, it wasn't a Sunday school, it was more like a midweek gathering. So he opened it up to, you know, everybody. Anybody could come from in the town, the city. And he was teaching on the attributes of God, and the particular attribute he was teaching on was the sovereignty of God. And a lot of people have problems with God's sovereignty. His ultimate sovereignty is control of all things. And one person in his class, he said, obviously was very bothered by it. So he interrupted him as he's talking about the sovereignty of God, and he said, well, that's not how I see God. It's not how I see God. And then he went on to describe how he conceived God to be. This is how I think God is. This is how I feel God is. Minister, a very gracious man, obviously, he allowed this man to, you know, speak for maybe a minute and a half. And then he stopped him and he said this. He said, thank you, Bob, for telling us how you view God, how you see God. But then he said it very graciously. He said, but we are not concerned to know how you conceive God to be. We want to know what God says about himself. And we can only find this truth in the Scripture. And not the vain imaginations of one's mind. That's how it would be if God does not give us the understanding, the interpretation, without the explicit instruction God gave to Joshua in verse 7, the true meaning of the 12 stone memorial would not be known, or at least it would not be known very long. Joshua may have told one person, and that would be it. That is why Joshua says parents must tell their children what God says the 12 stones signify. And that's so true, isn't it? Parents have that responsibility to teach their children. Children are only in church for a limited amount of time during the week. I mean, most of the instruction they're going to receive is going to be at home. And I'm thankful that we have families that are teaching their children. That is a good thing. We must continue to do that. No, the Israelites were not at liberty to interpret those stones apart from the Word of God. And let's just say nothing has changed. We know that. God's Word is the rule of faith. It tells us what we are to believe about God, what we are to believe about ourselves, what we are to believe about the world in which we live. We're not at liberty to interpret this world apart from God's Word. He must instruct us by the truth. Because we'll get it wrong, absolutely wrong, every time if we're left to our own fallen understanding. We must have something outside of ourselves, a rule of faith, the Word of God, to instruct us and teach us the way we should go, how we should think, how we should perceive the world in which we live, how we should view God, how we should view ourselves. And so we see in verses 1 through 7, the stone memorial here erected in the land of Canaan communicates two important truths God wants Israel to remember. As they get ready for conquest, first, they must remember they are his people, and he is with them as their God. Second, they must remember he is faithful to every generation of his people to keep his word. And so we read in verses 8 through 10 by way of a conclusion to the episode, and the people of Israel did just as Joshua commanded. They're really living in obedience, are they not? They took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, just as the Lord told Joshua. And they carried them over with them to the place where they lodged and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant had stood. And they are there to this day. This is another memorial that Joshua himself constructed. For the priests bearing the Ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished, that the Lord commanded Joshua to tell the people according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. So that is the story of the rocks of remembrance. The 12 stone memorial the Lord told Joshua to build in the land of Canaan, so he and the people of Israel will always remember God is with them and he is faithful to keep his word. Well, we don't have rock piles to remind us, do we? God is with us and he is faithful to us. Perhaps you have a rock pile in your yard. I don't know. I don't have a rock pile in my yard to remind me of that truth. And why is that? Because God has given us something better. He's given us something much better than rock piles. We have the Scriptures. And we have the sacraments, do we not, to remind us of who God is, what he has done for us. Sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. And like the 12 stone memorial whose meaning is dictated by God, so the Scriptures as the Word of God interpret the sacraments and tell us the spiritual truth they communicate to to our souls. That is why we never observe the sacrament without Scripture prefacing it, explaining what this is all about. God has to interpret the sacraments, not ourselves. And as we think on the sacraments, in particular this day, the Lord's Supper, that like the 12-stone memorial calls us to remember. Isn't that interesting? The 12-stone memorial was calling the people to remember. The sacrament of the Lord's table calls us to remember as well. What God has done for us through Jesus Christ, we can see. You can actually see the two truths of the stone memorial are communicated in the sacrament. The two truths we just looked at. First, Jesus, who instituted the sacrament and whose real presence we partake of in the sacrament, is Emmanuel. And what does Emmanuel actually mean? When we translate the word Emmanuel, what do we get? God is with us. That is Emmanuel. We are his people, and he is our God, and he is with us. And Jesus became God with us so he might live and die for us, to redeem us from the curse of sin, the power of death, and the wrath of God. And now, because of Jesus Christ, we have more than a new beginning like Israel had when they crossed the Jordan River and entered the Promised Land. We have a new and eternal life given to us by God through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. Our Emmanuel, our God, is with us. So that means each time we partake of the Lord's Supper, as we will do today, and we hear the words of institution, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink this in remembrance of me." Each time we do so, we as God's children should remember. And we should give thanks for the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, who gave his life. Who gave his life so we can live eternally with God. And as we eat the bread and drink the cup, God is feeding our souls on the body and blood of Jesus to build our faith and to seal the promise of eternal life to our hearts. And then when we hear the final words of institution, "For as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes," we remember the second truth taught to us by the 12-stone memorial. And that truth is God is faithful to every generation of his people to keep his word. For in God's appointed time, as the words of institution remind us, Jesus will return to the earth. He will come and he will judge the living and the dead. He will raise the dead incorruptible, and he will consummate the kingdom of God. And on that day, God's people will rise from their graves in glorified bodies that never perish, to live on a new earth that Christ has redeemed from the curse of sin and the power of corruption. And then, just as promised, God will dwell among his people. He will be our God and we will be his people. And he will wipe every tear from our eyes, is what the book of Revelation says. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. God has made all things new, all because he is faithful, and he keeps his word to every generation of his people. Do you not long for that day when God makes all things new? When he comes and he restores this planet, when he raises our bodies incorruptible, when he wipes away every tear from our eye. Yes, we do live in a weary land, as we sang, and Jesus is our rock. He is the rock in a weary land, and he makes the new all possible, the new life all possible through his redemptive work. Joshua and Israel had a 12-stone memorial. That was good for the day. They had rocks of remembrance. But God has given us, in this day and age, this generation, in redemptive history, something better. He gave to us the Scriptures. He gave to us the sacraments, so we will always remember God is with us. And he is faithful to keep his word. So this time I want us to pray and I want us to give thanks. I want us to give thanks to God for Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, our crucified and risen King. For he is indeed God with us. He is our Emmanuel. And one day he shall return to this earth. And the new day will begin where each day is better than the one before. God is faithful. And he will indeed keep his word. Brothers and sisters, let's go to prayer. Father, we thank you for this word of truth, this encouraging word, to remind us, as you had reminded the children of Israel, that you were with them and that you are faithful to keep your word to every generation. We know that is true for us as well. You are a gracious and a merciful God. You have given us eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Even now we are living eternally. We look forward to that day when all shall be made new. And the bodies we live in will be perfect in every way. There will be no more sin, no more crying, no more death, no more pain, nothing. What a wonderful and glorious promise you have given to us in your word. We look forward to the day when we live on this earth and you dwell with us. God with us, God with his people, our Emmanuel. So Lord, help us to be encouraged this day in this truth. Help us to remember the promises you have made to us in your word. Help us as we observe the table of the Lord today, the sacraments, that do indeed remind us of those twin truths, that you are with us and you are faithful to keep your word. And then as we do remember these truths, as we do remember who we are your people, we are Christians. Help us to live in this world as Christians to the glory, to the honor, to the praise of your almighty name, welcoming those who are not yet Christians to read the word and to be changed and transformed by the Spirit as we were the day we came to faith. May it be so, Lord. May it be so that you use us in powerful ways to be evangelistic tools to bring the gospel to a lost and dying world that so desperately needs to hear words of truth. And we ask all this in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen.